Thanks. Welcome. Welcome to what's the season called with all the rain and the storms and stuff? Is that summer? Summer? Hey, no, it was actually pretty hot today. I get it. It was pretty sunny. It was pretty humid actually. I haven't really stopped sweating after my shower. Do you guys sometimes get that out of it? Yeah. Well, the problem is my last shower was Friday night, so you know. That's the issue. But tonight, though, we will be reading from 1 Timothy 4, 12 to 16. So feel free to turn with me there. So I'll just open that. Dropped my bookmark, sorry. So just a little bit about this. These verses are often quoted, say, to youth ministries and young leaders, but Timothy was likely in his 30s, perhaps late 30s. Because of his youth, Timothy was encouraged by Paul to live a godly lifestyle, perhaps to earn the respect from the people that he led. So we'll read 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So these verses are just a part of Paul's words to the younger Timothy. Paul was reminding Timothy that as a leader and a young man, he needed to lead an exemplary life. These are important instructions for all Christians, but even more important for the younger leader, as they will be looked upon with more judgment. Paul encouraged Timothy to lead a life of obedience and discipline. Paul says in verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Youth are often looked down on because of attitudes and behaviors that are annoying or immature. Some of these some of the things people often associate with youth are disrespect, rebellion, self-absorption, conformity to peer pressure, indifference to serious issues, and a fixation on fun as the only thing that satisfies. If these behaviors are dominant in a young person's life, people can begin or even despise them and blame their youth. Paul implies this when saying, let no one despise your youth. Being young is not an excuse to be undisciplined. However, in youth, it's important to make a consistent and conscious effort towards holy living. Paul is telling Timothy to do what a young man can, to do what he can to keep the despising from happening. Don't be indifferent to what older people think. Actually care about it. Take steps to win their approval, to earn their respect. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. So you're going to be setting them the example. You're going to be doing your best. And the example is in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. But the way he tells Timothy to overcome being despised is not to adjust to their attitudes. He does not say, let no one despise you for your youth, but find out what they want and act that way. Peaceful relationships between older and younger is not the most valuable pursuit. However, it is valuable. Adaptation to older people is not the point. Paul doesn't say the only goal is to meet adult expectations. He says something different. Paul says, the way I want youth to to pursue not being despised is to look to God's standards of love and faith and purity. In that way, even young people can become examples to older people. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. The point is not find out what older people want and give it to them so they don't despise you. The point is find out what kind of words and conduct God wants and do that. He gives love and faith and purity as examples of what we should do in our words and conduct. Let all your words and actions come from faith in Christ. Let them be loving. So Paul's main point is that Timothy should not have low expectations of the impact of his life towards those who are older. He should look to God, believe in the gospel, do what God calls him to do, and in that way become an example to the rest. It's quite rare for young people to think that way, to think, I am called to set an example for the adults. Of course, adults are supposed to set examples for young people, but here it's the other way around. That calls for a dramatic shift in the mindset for most adults and youth today. Don't adapt to the low cultural expectations for youth. Set high ones. Youth can become examples for adults by pursuing God's standards. As I was studying and thinking about my youth, I was reminded of my spiritual journey from birth till now. Like me, some of you were born into a Christian home and some of you weren't. Some of you came to faith at a young age, some of you did not. Either way, navigating our youth is difficult. So I wanted to take a look back at the larger biblical picture of a terribly tough journey we as humans must navigate from birth to adulthood. So first, there is sin. Every child is born with the corruption and guilt of Adam's sin. Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, And in sin did my mother conceive me." That was David's cry after his adultery with Bathsheba. He accepted responsibility, but he traced his corruption all the way back to conception at birth. So it's with every child from Adam, and even after God started out. So it is with every child from Adam, and even after God started over, so after the flood, God said to Noah that he would not bring another flood like that, but it was not because the heart of man is now cured. Instead, he said in Genesis 8:21, "For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth." Nothing had changed in the human heart, not to this day. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child." That is the first thing we need to know about all children. They are sinners in need of salvation. They don't just do bad things. They have bad natures, bad hearts. They need to be born again. John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. They have all been born of the flesh. Now they need to be born of the Spirit." Next, children must be taught the truth about God and about Christ and about the gospel. God is a decisive teacher concerning himself, but he uses people, especially parents. Psalms 71:17 says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds." God teaches children from the earliest age in ways only he knows how, but he has told us in the ordinary way that a child will come to know and trust Christ through their parents. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, not provoke your child to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The discipline and the instruction of the Lord is not only moral instruction followed by either reward or punishment. Children need to be taught the gospel. Next, a child, or in many cases, an adult, is born again, or at least we hope is born again, and comes to faith in Jesus as the Savior and Lord of their lives. Psalm 71:5 says, "You, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." The psalmist says that God has been his trust, his confidence from his youth. God gave him new life, and he saw Christ as true and precious. That may mean he never remembers a time we did not trust the Lord. That may be true for many of you here. For others, it may not either way. For those who believe in the work Jesus did on the cross has been saved. Lucky for us, age is not a barrier for the salvation we receive through Christ. Next, original sin and all our sinful choices that follow from it will be forgiven through the faith that God awakens through the knowledge of the gospel. David embraces this truth in Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. This is good news at every age. Peter says in Acts 10:43, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. We all must come to love the precious good news that makes them very thankful to God. So once a child or an adult is born again and holding fast to Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives, God treats them as his own children. This means he gives them trials and afflictions to purify the heart and to make their faith strong and mature. The Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. It's Hebrews 12:6-8. We should teach ourselves and children a strong doctrine of suffering and affliction and how the Lord disciplines. For those who have been through many trials can encourage the youth who are experiencing trials and give them guidance. So after sin and teaching the gospel, faith, forgiveness and trials, it becomes plain that in the Bible, children, from the time they come to faith, are being treated by God in a way that can lead them to remarkable maturity and usefulness earlier than most of us can actually think. David prays like this for his children in Psalm 144, verse 12. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. What does this mean? What does this mean? May our sons already in their youth be like plants full grown. He's praying that the strength and fruitfulness and the more mature plant will already show itself in his sons, even while they were young and the expectations for such fruitfulness is low. We should pray for ourselves and the youth in our lives. We are all to pursue spiritual maturity and our lives would be fruitful and useful to God. I guess this brings us to the practical application for young people. Don't let the culture set low expectations for what you may accomplish for Christ. Listen to the way God and Jeremiah argue about Jeremiah's call when he was young. So Jeremiah 1:6 says, "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be careful that you don't postpone the burden and the blessing of fruitfulness in your life because you use the excuse, I am only a youth. God said to Jeremiah, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. There are some younger than you that you can lead, and there are some older than you that you can serve. But do not say, I am only a youth." All Christians experience two different kinds of maturity. So there's the physical maturity, so where we grow from babies to adults. This is a difficult experience. The second is even more difficult, which is a spiritual maturity. This requires a consistent pursuit of Christ, to know him, to know his word, to love him and live for him. This type of spiritual maturity requires the help of fellow believers. So if you are a parent or a not-so-young person, encourage the youth to live for Christ. Teach them, guide them, and build them up. Help them first to know God, then follow his commands. And finally, young people. The best and most important thing you can do is love God, and then do what he says. The old folks might not like everything you do. Old people have and always will find the things you do weird. They won't like your backwards caps or your long hair. I actually wrote that with a few people in mind and it worked well. Or your video games. and there is nothing you can do to change that. But you will earn the respect of your elders if you pursue God and live a godly lifestyle. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today and for this night and for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that your word is filled with. I thank you specifically for the youth of this church. I pray that you will use us to build them up and grow them and help them first love you and then live for you. I pray for the parents of children, that you'll continue to bless them and help them be the best parents they can be, but also that they, while teaching and growing their children, they continue to grow in their relationship with you as well, so that they can do that as best they possibly can. Lord, give us strength to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen.